May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Coming after a first chapter that describes each day's creation as good, today's Old Testament reading from Genesis' second chapter is especially striking, for it's saying that the newly created man's being alone is not good. Yet, from a piece of the man, God soon built a helper fit for him, or corresponding to him, just as the beasts of the field and birds of the sky had their counterparts. The man received his helper with delight and joy, and he exclaimed, "The bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh to be a woman." Therefore, the divinely inspired Moses said, a man will leave his parents and hold fast to or cleave to, the older translations say, his wife, and they will become one flesh. Therefore, they would have the privilege and pleasure of being God's instruments for bringing up future generations of people to live in fellowship with God as they did. What blessings from a loving creator to his unique creation. Moses tells us that the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. But beyond that, really, we can only imagine what their perfect union was like. For example, they probably were not awkward together, as some newly married couples might be awkward together. They would not have bickered like an old married couple. We might say both that he did not leave the toilet seat up and that she did not burn the toast. They were literally made for each other, and their life together would have reflected that complementariness, at least for a time. However much time passed between the end of Genesis' second chapter and the beginning of Genesis' third chapter, which narrates their, and so also our, fall into sin and its consequences. After that fall into sin, God told the woman that he would multiply her pain in childbearing, that her desire would be contrary to her husband, and that he would rule over her. God told the man that the ground was cursed because of him, that by the sweat of his face he would eat bread, and that he would return to the dust of the ground from which he was taken. We do not have to imagine what their imperfect union was like, for we see it in our own and others' families. Those imperfect unions sometimes lead to separation. In today's gospel reading, Pharisees asked Jesus about the lawfulness of divorce, with their finding lawfulness in a very specific piece of case law that God gave Moses in order to protect the land from abomination by the abuse of divorces that Jesus said were allowed essentially only to unbelievers. Marriage is more than a man and a woman's leaving their parents and cleaving to their spouses. Marriage is also God's joining the two into one flesh. And so, expounding Genesis, Jesus said for people to stop separating couples, effectively making clear that people cannot truly separate them. For as Jesus told his disciples, whoever divorces and remarries commits adultery, since the one flesh union still remains. Adultery is forbidden, of course, by what we number the sixth commandment. But the sixth commandment does not forbid only adultery. Also forbidden are any and all other forms of sexual immorality, lust, pornography, bestiality, crude talk, self-pollution, inappropriate clothing, incest, pedophilia, premarital sex, living together without marriage, rape or other sexual abuse or assault, and any kind of homosexual, bisexual, or transsexual thoughts, words, and deeds. Single or married, not one of us keeps the sixth commandment as we should keep it. Much less do we keep all of the other commandments as we should keep them. We all are sinful by nature, and we all sin. And so we all deserve temporal and eternal punishment. Apart from God's leading us to be sorry for our sins and to trust God to forgive our sins, for the sake of his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. After the fall into sin, but before God announced the consequences to the man and the woman, God announced the good news that the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head, though the serpent would strike the seed of the woman's heel. And when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, to redeem all who are under the law, including us. As we heard in today's epistle reading, since we are flesh and blood, the Son of God likewise partook of flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil. The Son of God had to be made like his brothers and sisters, so that he could sacrifice himself for our sins. By the grace of God, Jesus on the cross tasted death for everyone, including us, and resurrected on the third day and ascended into heaven, he is now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death. When we are sorry for our sins and trust God to forgive our sins for Jesus' sake, then God does just that. He forgives our sinful nature and all of our sin, whatever our sin might be. The kingdom of God is given as a free gift to those of us who receive it with true, humble faith, like little children. Although there is no difference if we are 8 days old, 8 years old, or 8 decades old, the gospel readings mention of little children might make us think especially of our receiving the kingdom of God in holy baptism, one of what, in the words of today's epistle reading, we might call signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, by which signs, still today, God continues to work faith when and where he pleases in those who hear the gospel. Those so baptized confess to their pastors the sins that particularly trouble them for the sake of holy absolution, forgiveness from the pastor as from God himself. And those so absolved are admitted to the Holy Supper, where bread is Christ's body given for us and wine is Christ's blood shed for us. And so give us the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. So forgiven by God's word and sacraments, we are transformed so that we at least want to keep God's commandments, including the sixth commandment. as we prayed in the Collect of the Day. By God's Holy Spirit, we think and do those things that are pleasing in His sight, including speaking as we should. Our identity, worth, or completeness as human beings is not determined by our marital status or whether or not we have children. But our identity, worth, and completeness as human beings is determined by our Creator and Redeemer. First and foremost, we are created and forgiven. While we recognize that marriage is not absolutely necessary for every individual, but that Holy Scripture and the Lutheran confessions can exalt the single estate over the married estate, in general, we value marriage as a good gift from our Creator and the only proper context for sexual intercourse, which is always with a view towards procreation. Now, spouses live together in the forgiveness of sins that they receive from God and in turn extend to one another. But as the first man and woman did before the fall, on the last day, if necessary in resurrected bodies and certainly in glorified bodies, so freed from the corruption of sin, believing spouses will live together perfectly for eternity. We are created and forgiven. God has created us, male or female, and as we repent, He has forgiven us, males and females. Forgiven us of our sins against the sixth commandment and against all the other commandments. And we might add, we are also sanctified. Truly, as we sang in today's psalm, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.